programs to my brother, and we were discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Dear friends, sometimes we forget to listen to our heart, listen to our souls. Now, when we calm ourselves down, when we go into a tranquil state, and when we purify ourselves and we purify our actions, the voice of reason and the voice of our heart becomes clear. The more we purify ourselves, the more we purify our lives via the various commandments that the Almighty Allah has prescribed for us. Our heart becomes polished and our heart becomes pure, and then knowledge and wisdom come forth. For surely knowledge and wisdom is a light which Allah Himself places in the hearts of those He wishes to do so. Now, one of the things which destroys this polishness of the heart, and it destroys this light within the heart, is the love and the attraction and the magnetism to the material world and its material things. As Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, this world is fetid water which does not taste good for man's healthy nature. And so this world is like this water which is stagnant. If you have ever looked at stagnant water, it is usually not clean. And matter of fact, if you were to drink stagnant, fetid water, it would be bad for your health. And so, in the same way, Imam Ali says, this is what the world is like. The world is like this water which will make you sick. And so, if we are attracted to the world, if we love the world, if our heart and our soul is attached to the material aspects of this world, and thus that fetid heart will be bad for our health, just as that fetid water was bad for a person's health. And when we really think about it, dear friends, dear brothers and sisters, this materialistic aspect of this world, will it last us forever? It is said that gold and silver only lasts a while. Either you will use it slowly or quickly, or somebody will come and steal it from you. But that which remains are our good actions, the things that we did when we obeyed the commands of Allah, and the things that we refrained from when we were obeying the commands of Allah. It is these things that we will take with us to our graves, and it is these things, these actions done for the sake of Allah, which will move on to the next life. The houses and the cars and the clothes and the money and the shoes and the jewelry, the glamour and the fashion, none of these things will go with us. The only thing that goes on to the next world are the actions that we commit for the sake of Allah. That is what will remain forever. So don't go searching for this fetid water, this stagnant water called the materialistic world. Rather, go for a pure water, a refreshing and life-giving water, which is good for man's nature, this water called Islam. And so, another profound lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
كل صبح نور. تمام ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib this means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
IRIB English Radio. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
Look at Surah Ma'idah, ayat number 67, the famous ayat about Ghadir. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say there? He says, Ya ayyuhar rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik. O my messenger, doesn't even say my. Ya ayyuhar rasul, O the apostle, O the messenger. بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ Convey the message which has been sent down to you from your Lord. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ And if you don't do that, فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَ If you don't do this, it is as if you have not done anything. You have not conveyed the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ And Allah will protect you from the people. Don't fear them on this matter. And when we look at this issue, you know, what do we see? Number one, look at the very formal way that Allah is now talking. The Prophet doesn't have long time now. His death is approaching. And this is the biggest gathering that Rasulullah, had in his life, before or even after that. He had never seen so many people gathered in one place, as he saw in the Hajj that he made with them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now is being very stern, very formal. No more, friendly tones. He doesn't say, Ya Muzammil, Ya Mudassir, Ya Yasin, Ya Taha. No. Now it's a very formal address. Ya Ayyuhar Rasul. Remember your purpose, your mission, which included a very important component. You have not yet declared that very clearly, very openly in the largest of the gathering. And if you don't do this, when we look at this issue, you have to convey the message. What is the message? There are people who say, this was about namaz, about roza, about hajj, This is nothing about namaz or roza or hajj or zakat or taharat or najasat or hijab. No, nothing. Because if you look at the phrase later on, Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يَعَصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Allah will protect you from the people. It means that there was a message given to you to convey to the people, but you were afraid of the reaction of the people. Was the Prophet afraid that if I talk about namaz, the Muslims will be displeased with me? It was already been done for so many years now. It wasn't about roza that had already started in the second year of the Hijrah. For many years now, Muslims had been fasting. It wasn't about zakat, which was already there, introduced and implemented. It wasn't even about hajj. The Prophet was coming from hajj. It was a message that Allah had asked the Prophet to convey, that the Prophet was afraid that if I declare this, there will be many people who will not like it. And what was that message? It was the issue of Ali, because there were many, many people who had become Muslims, but their fathers or brothers or grandfathers or uncles have been killed by Ali in the battles in the earlier years. And they didn't like Ali. And Rasulullah knew that if I declare very openly that Ali is my successor, you know, he might face rebellion and opposition. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is assuring him. That Muhammad, you have to convey this message, وَاللَّهُ يَعَصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Allah will protect you from the reaction of the people. Don't worry about it. Convey the message. And this is where we see that, you know, when we talk about this issue of the declaration of Wilayat of Ali, it's not only our ibadat and our fasting and our charity and our hajj which depends. The validity of these things and the salat for it depends on our wilayat regarding Ali and Ali Ali. Even the risalat and nubuwat of Rasulullah will not be, you know, complete and considered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be, you know, fulfilled in the right way until Rasulullah made that declaration regarding Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam.
Listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
Modern technology has changed our lives in countless ways, with robots now preparing to lend a hand in operation rooms. Surgical robots are on display at the 4th China International Import Expo. One of the machines, dubbed Mesa X, gives assistance in spinal surgery. Employing the robot can lessen bleeding by 50% compared to open surgeries. Another one assists doctors to perform interventional surgeries.
Guide valves in the vessels can be controlled even less than 1 millimeter. This is not cannot be achieved by the human hands. With the great, I think, market impact from this showcase, we successfully performed a first case PCI in Hainan Boao on March 13th.
The producers say surgical robots will soon operate in more hospitals around China. Therefore, training centers have been established to help surgeons learn how to operate the new generation of surgical robots.
A tigress belonging to the endangered Bengal species has given birth to 4 cubs at the Mexican Zoo, bringing joy and hope to wildlife enthusiasts. The four were born in the San Jorge Park in the city of Ciudad Juarez on October 10th. Nearly a month on, they are in good health. That is good news, because usually when multiple cubs are born, not all of them survive. Zoo officials have not yet determined the sex of the newborn cubs. That is because their mother lets out a roar when the vets are nearby. Bengal tigers are endangered for two reasons: poaching and the destruction of their natural habitat. Here's what you can call killing two birds with one stone. Classic car lovers have gone on an exciting rally to see an erupting volcano. The event, organized by Beshbrook Rallies, happened on a Saturday. Motorists taking part in the vintage rally had the unique opportunity to witness a volcano erupting ash and smoke. Most of the participants tried to get as close as they could to the volcano, but there were also those who chose to take other vehicles because they were afraid that their precious antique cars would be damaged. Norway's capital is once again the scene of a mesmerizing annual light festival. This year's Fjord Oslo Light Festival started on Friday, and it will run until Sunday. Numerous artists have had the opportunity to showcase their dazzling designs by lighting up important buildings in the Norwegian capital. This year's biggest installation is called The Abyss, which was inspired by animals living in the deep ocean.
Workers digging gas pipes in the Peruvian capital Lima have discovered a cemetery dating back 2 millennia. Archaeologists have recovered 6 bodies, including those of children. All of them were buried in a seated position. The site also yielded about 40 burial vessels. The findings are thought to belong to the culture known as White on Red, which settled on the central coast of Peru centuries ago during the pre-Hispanic era.
Often it does not take much to bring about positive social change. In Johannesburg, a group of painters are creating artworks on the trolleys of street recyclers. Reason? To encourage bystanders to look up and notice the work recyclers, locally known as reclaimers, do in the community.
I like my work to have meaning, so when I get to paint and become a part of a project like this, it's great for me, you know? Because it's not every day we get to do stuff like this, so, yeah.
Up until now, they were just filthy-looking jumbo bags with recyclable waste wheeling along the streets. But thanks to graffiti artists who are giving them a makeover with bold and bright designs to help identify and protect the recyclers, artists say their goal is to build a relationship between neighborhood residents and waste pickers. The reclaimers roam around the city day and night, with some motorists even considering them a risk, as the trolleys are not always visible. There are some 6,000 reclaimers in Johannesburg who make a living collecting, sorting, recycling garbage. It's a messy job, but they do it anyway. A group of women are joining hands to protect one of India's key natural sites that is also on UNESCO's heritage list, the Western Ghats, a mountain chain that's facing severe deforestation. The 27 members of this all-female task force are doing all they can to protect the area's rare ferns, mosses, and thousands of other plants. They're using a variety of gardening tools and techniques to preserve species from all over the mountains. Not only that, but they also make artificial conditions and habitats for endangered species from other parts of the world, mainly those affected by climate change.
one of the conservationists, explained that what they are doing is actually helping the forest regenerate.
We have witnessed the birth of a forest, and that's a very powerful thing. You know, the mind is filled with the ghastly stories of forests being cut, like the Amazon or like the Western Ghats, but here we're witness to the birth of forests as well, and that is the forest itself birthing itself, you see.
The Western Ghats Mountains are home to nearly 5,000 species of flowering plants, but many of them are globally threatened. Only less than half of the area's flora is currently under conservation. Scientists say the outlook for the mountain is very concerning. Carbon dioxide is one of the causes of global warming, but can we get rid of it to save our planet? A Swiss firm has come up with a novel idea to store CO2 underground and turn it into rocks. Company Climeworks has started operating the world's largest direct air carbon capture and storage plant called Okra in Iceland, located in Hershey. Okra is entirely run on renewable energy. It soaks carbon dioxide directly from the air and buries it as rocks deep underground to be mineralized. Usually, a natural process takes hundreds of thousands of years to turn the gas into basaltic rocks, but here it takes up to 2 years for the CO2 to turn into white crystals.
Once the carbon dioxide is captured, it will be dissolved in water, and here we are at the injection site. The carbon dioxide dissolved in water will come through this pipe into the well, where it will be injected into the volcanic rock at a depth of between 800 meters and 2 kilometers.
The plant is said to be removing 4,000 tons of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere each year. The amount is too little to save the planet from carbon emissions, as climate modeling suggests the world needs to eliminate several billion tons per year by 2050. Here we have to take into account the saying of the head of Orca that we have to learn to walk before we can run.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Legends never die. So 1 year after his death, Argentinians are remembering their hero on his birthday. And that's no one but their legendary football player, Diego Maradona. It would have been Maradona's 61st birthday this year. People all around the country, including in the capital, Buenos Aires, remembered their iconic figure in ceremonies over the weekend. In the city of Rosario, a giant monument was inaugurated in honor of the football star. You can see on your screens fans gathering there in celebration. They say Maradona's love still runs in the veins of Argentinians. Amsterdam, the capital of the Netherlands, is riddled with waterways through which thousands of boats pass each day. Soon, the city may also be hosting self-driving vessels. Amsterdam's Institute for Advanced Metropolitan Solutions has devised an autonomous boat that can cross the city's busy canals without the help of a conductor. The watercraft, named a rowboat, is the size of a small car. The developers intend to use the boats for tasks ranging from transporting people to collecting trash. They think it can also be used for less conventional purposes, like preventing oil spills or forming a temporary bridge. Amsterdam's authorities are considering locations for a trash collection pilot project starting early next year.
the disastrous effects of climate change has been the loss of glaciers worldwide. People around the world are trying new ways to tackle this problem. Now, a team of Chilean conservationists have come up with a creative project to protect glaciers and prevent water loss. The project is called NILUS. Winter rains are collected in cone-like structures called stupas. Experts from Chile are using a technology that was first developed in India to make these man-made glaciers. The water is then later used in the dry summer months. Chile has been experiencing a severe drought for years. NILUS director Enrique Gilona says the project hopes to address water shortages in the country.
Here we are not creating new water. Water is something that is in nature already. It has a cycle, but clearly it has been affected by the effects of the great climate change, which we are facing. And we are looking for a solution that actually allows us to protect this water for a longer time in the mountain range, to be able to deliver it downstream toward the communities.
The goal is to store some 100 million liters of water across 50 stupas next year. This would be enough water to supply 100,000 people for 3 months. The first prototype was erected in Park Arenas, an area known for its glaciers surrounding a volcano, the highest parts of the mountain region. Researchers and activists have warned that glaciers in the Andes Mountains have been receding in recent years. They blame climate change for the loss of glaciers and water shortages. A photo on social media, an article, or a TV program can all draw attention to climate change. But to a German artist, nothing seems to be as effective as a journey using a giant water ball to make his voice heard. Arne Drossel started his journey from his hometown Paderborn, West Germany, 3 months ago. The trip has so far taken him through more than 60 cities. He has completed the journey to the Scottish city of Glasgow, the venue of a major UN climate conference. Drossel says he aims to tell people how they can help tackle climate change, now a key global problem. The German artist believes everyone has a duty to solve the problem to help next generations have a good future.
My wife and we have 5 children, and we want to give them a good and happy future. And everybody knows, I think, about the problems our Earth has, and we will have the same problem in several cities and countries.
The German artist says he has encouraged people to make specific promises to tackle climate change. He says his own pledge was to offset all his personal carbon emissions by using the sphere for his journey. Drossel says he will continue his efforts until the promises reach a million. Meet Clarion, a homemade polar bear whose mission is to raise awareness of climate change in a 500-kilometer pilgrimage to Glasgow. The 3-meter polar bear is work of British furniture maker Bamber Hoss. The bear weighs 17 kilograms and is made of bamboo, willow, and tissue paper. Hoss started his journey with Clarion from his hometown of Bishop's Castle in England to Glasgow. They accomplished their spectacular journey ahead of the United Nations COP26 climate conference in the Scottish city. Hoss says Clarion is a symbol of melting Arctic ice caps due to global warming.
He's called Clarion. Clarion the bear is not a bear, he is a metaphor, he's a symbol. It is a very obvious symbol that a polar bear represents the Arctic, not the Antarctic, and that is where, you know, some of the problems are with melting ice caps, not all the problems because they're elsewhere as well.
Hoss says his aim is to encourage people to pay attention to climate change. Environmental activists from across the UK and elsewhere on the continent have also embarked on a long journey on foot,
to reach the UN Climate Change Conference in Glasgow.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me, proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Talk about the unlawful gains, according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Let's take a listen to a short biography, and we'll be back.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid, according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij in his teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. So,
Sheikh Javid, since we are talking about Islamically unlawful gains, what is the ruling about the income made from selling some unlawful foodstuff among other goods in a cooperative, especially when it is destined to be distributed among the shareholders?
Do you mean that the income is going to be distributed, yes?
Yes.
Among the shareholders, of course. You know, it is haram to buy and sell the foodstuff, or the foodstuffs, of course, that are haram for human consumption,
yes,
as we discussed it in one of the previous episodes. And of course, if it is sold or bought for such purpose, the sale transaction is definitely right. You know, such a transaction is basically impermissible. And of course, the proceeds made in the process is definitely or haram. Of course, the proceeds, the money that you get from the sale of such things is obviously haram according to Ayatollah Khamenei. And therefore, it's not permissible to distribute the proceeds among the shareholders. Now you have, for example, you receive something after selling these haram stuff or food stuff. You have sold, let's say, 20 kilos of rice and 10 bottles of alcoholic beverages, okay?
Yes.
So it means that you have sold haram and halal things, both halal and haram things together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as the proceeds received for the 10 bottles of alcoholic beverages, of course, the proceeds are haram, and it cannot be distributed among the shareholders. And Grand Ayatollah Khamenei says that if the property of the cooperative is tainted with this illicit money, now if it gets mixed with this illicit money, the ruling of property mixed with haram is applicable. You know, we know that if a property is mixed with haram, we know what to do. We have to obviously purify it by giving 1/5 of it as khums, and that's how you can make it pure, make it halal for yourself to use.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Another question would be about finding jobs in some centers, such as hotels, for example, in
sure.
non-Muslim countries. And you know how hard it is actually these days to find a job. And sometimes part of the job description is that you do, in fact, do such activities which are required, or some of the services you need to offer in those centers. For example, if you're a hotelier, the owner asks you to serve alcoholic drinks, for example,
sure.
to the customers. And if you don't do that, then you'll be dismissed from that
job. It will
job.
Have consequences.
Exactly. So, or the customers would not go to the hotel if you just, you know, refuse to do so. Well, and it is to be noted, however, that the businessman, the owner, for example, intends to dispose all the profit made on the unlawful food and drink, all right? The
yeah.
income basically generated from the unlawful gains. By giving to the authorized religious authority, is it permissible for him to do so?
Well, it doesn't make any difference whether the money which comes from halal source is given to a religious authority or anyone else. Of course, it's not permissible to involve in giving haram food stuff like pork, or serving the customers alcoholic beverages.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Ayatollah Khamenei, may Allah grant him long life, says that there's no problem in doing business as a hotelier, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or as a person who keeps a restaurant, who, you know, runs a restaurant in a non-Muslim country. But at the same time, of course, he says that it is not permissible to sell haram food stuff and haram drink. Even if we know for sure that the person who comes to the hotel is a non-Muslim, so it does not make any difference. And even if the consumer is a non-Muslim, And of course, the money is not permissible to receive either. You know, if you sell alcoholic beverages or pork or whatever haram stuff that you want to sell to the consumer, then the money is not halal to receive. Even if you intend to hand over the profit made to a religious authority. Uh-huh. So no matter what the situation, you cannot run such a business, okay? Of course, even Ayatollah Khamenei says that if the franchise is segregated, and if it is run by someone else, but the hotel or the restaurant is run in partnership with someone else, again the income, there is problem or there is objection in the money received by you.
I see. Thank you very much. Let's take another break and we'll be back.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We are still talking about Islamic gain, unlawful gains, according to the fatwas of Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, I've got two questions which are very much or pretty much related, and they are or they have something to do with the seafood. Let me ask you the first one, and then we'll get back to the second question. Then.
Sure.
The first one is, what's the Islamic law on the scaled fish which dies inside the fishing nets?
According to Ayatollah Khamenei, of course, scaled fish which dies inside fishing nets of a fisherman, of course, is halal. He does say that is halal. In a clear fatwa, he says that is halal. No?
Inside the water?
It does not die inside the water, you know. When the net is pulled out, then it squeezes the fish to the extent that some fish get actually suffocated.
Yes.
So it actually dies out of the
water.
Out of the water. And of course,
that's the only criterion, right, for the fish, the scaled fish, to be halal.
That's the main reason. That's the main criterion. In order for the fish to be halal, it should die out of the
water.
Out of the water.
Yes.
And of course, the fishing net usually is out of the water as long as it, you know, when the fishing net is spread under the water, it is no fish is going to die because it does not squeeze the fish together.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's pulled out, there is pressure. There is, you know, the fish are squeezed, and some fish end up dying in the net, and others die on board the ship. So in either case, the fish is halal.
Mm-hmm. And then last question, is it allowed to buy or sell inedible water animals? Can we also sell them to people who consider eating them lawful, Islamically, halal? Is it permissible to trade in them for purposes other than human consumption, such as bird, animal feed, or manufacturing them?
Mm-hmm. Good question. Well, it's not permissible, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, to sell or buy any of the types which are not sanctioned for human consumption.
Mm-hmm.
No, there are different species in the sea which are not allowed to consume. Okay. But, okay, even there are, of course, maybe some Muslim sects, some Muslims who do not follow the Shi'i school of jurisprudence, but they might still consume them. And non-Muslims categorically, of course, do consume those species.
Yes.
But it does not become a license for me as a Shia Muslim to
trade,
to trade and to engage in selling them.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, because they are basically forbidden according to the Shia Islam. Okay, as far as the scaled fish is concerned, as I said, it's permissible to sell, it's permissible to buy. But of course, such species which are hunted or caught from the sea and sea and brought out onto the shore, they can be used for some other purposes. Okay, like they can be used for in medicine, and they can be used in manufacturing and feeding birds and animals. Okay, there are birds which consume fish or which eat fish, and of course, if those fish are brought out for these purposes, then there's no doubt that it is permissible, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, to sell them, to buy them, and to engage in trading such species for those purposes.
I see.
Like feeding and animals, birds, and of course manufacturing things or medicine things.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. That was the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example.
Self-purification is the most significant factor.
is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Ayatollah Fatemi Niya.
خانمی بزرگواره 20 دفعه رفته عمره ها حالا دفعه 21 داره میره میگه مالا این دفعه حالا اینه بده به یه دختر یتیمی مثلا حالا نه من نمیتونم خب من نمیتونم رفقا رفت.
I know a lady who is very respectable in the society. She had gone for umrah for 20 times. Now she wants to go for the 21st time. She is told, why don't you give the money which is to spend for traveling to Mecca to an orphan girl? And the answer is, I can't do that because all of my friends are going to Mecca to do Umrah. And yet, you wish to find a remedy for your rude behavior towards your family and you can't? Is the religion of Allah a joke? Umrah after Umrah every year? And yet you have not corrected even one flaw in yourself. Go 100 times to Umrah, but if you misbehave with your family, or you don't spend your money in the way of Allah, all those umrahs are useless. If a man or a woman is immoral, their acts of worship become void. We should seek the protection of Allah. With just one hurtful statement or action, all the illuminations of our good actions are lost.
چه فرق میکنه؟ ببینید با یک دونه حرف تلخ تمام نورا که صبح آوردن در خونه تمر از دست میده.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, where we listen to a speech by Ayatollah Fatemi Niya. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
gate of knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of the Charter of Islamic Governance based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are trying to understand this topic and this charter of Islamic governance and Islamic civilization through the teachings of the master of Islamic sciences, the one who was the gate of the knowledge of prophethood, who was the one who was very close to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam at all times, and would seek his guidance and inspiration and act according to his teachings in the best form. Yes, Imam Ali alayhi salam, Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, was really the epitome of subservience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and showed his devotion to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We see that Imam Ali alayhi salam explains here in sermon number 87 the condition of the Muslim Ummah before the coming of Islam, kind of giving us an outlook as to what Islam can do to the communities if it is followed and adhered to in the right way. Imam Ali alayhi salam, in this particular sermon explaining these situations, says وَالدُّنْيَا كَاسِفَةٌ نُورٌ, that the world was covered from light. That means no light could penetrate to the earth. The earth was blocked from light. It was filled with darkness. وَالدُّنْيَا كَاسِفَةٌ نُورٌ. And the reason being is that people had lost their idea of felicity and they didn't know their direction.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, we notice that this particular darkness also exists in the world today. And that is why people are looking for light. And you will notice even the most bizarre forms of spirituality are appreciated. You can imagine in the world right now, if you look at America or different parts of the world, spirituality in the form of devil worshipping, spirituality in the form of Wicca, and wisdom.